Amen. What a promise. He will hold me fast. Jesus promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The message is entitled, A Righteous Warrior, Seven Marks of a Righteous Warrior. I like it when we find that in Scripture, something that we can look into. Paul talked about us not just looking to the, or James did, about looking to the mirror of God's Word and then walk away forgetting the kind of people we are. We look into the Scripture and we have these standards. And we have these things we can look at and say, oh, God wants him to be like that. And our first reaction is like, oh, that's not going to happen because I know me. But the thing is, God chose you on purpose. He gifted you. And as a believer, he dwells within you. You can be whatever he has called you to be for his glory. And one day to hear from him, well done, faithful servant. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that I might be Spirit-filled. That you would challenge our hearts as your children to be the warriors that you've called us to be. Speaking the truth in love, not backing away, not backing down, that we might be salt and light in our time, in our place, that we might hear well done. Now, Lord, I pray that I might be Spirit-filled as I teach, that each one of us might be Spirit-filled as listeners to the Spirit, that we might be doers of the word, obedient, and not just hearers, Lord. And Lord, I pray if there are any here that don't know you as their own personal Savior today, Lord, that would flee to your arms today, that you would draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul wrote this, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. God has called every one of his children to put on the armor and get ready, because there's a battle going on. It's a holy war. Satan seeks. He walks about as a lion, Peter said, seeking to destroy, seeking to devour. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, it's the standard for Christians. It's the book that's only second in books sold to the Bible. It's a great book. When Christian finally comes to the cross and he kneels before the cross and he looks into the eyes of the Savior and the burden of sin rolls from his back down into that hole to be ever separated from him. The next thing that happens, he stands on his feet and the holy ones come and they take off his old garments and they put a new garment on it and then they dress him for battle. They give him the helmet of salvation. They give him a sword, the breastplate of righteousness, and a shield of faith for his journey. God has called every single believer to be a part of what he's doing in the world, preaching the truth, sharing the truth, speaking the truth in love. Here we have seven marks of this righteous warrior. Now, the word righteous is just a word in the Greek, it was diakonos, and it came to us through the English, right wiseness. And so, as a righteous warrior, Jesus said, I send you out as sheep among ravenous wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That takes wisdom. That takes right wiseness, righteousness. In verse 1, the first mark of a righteous warrior is a confident, personal faith. Not a generic one. It's not just, well, I asked Jesus in my heart, and here's my doctrinal statement. This is a faith that knows the Lord Jesus personally, that walks with him and knows him by experience. You walk with him. David writes and he says, the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. He's not salvation generally. He's my salvation. He's the light that appeared that drew me to himself. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? See, he had a right picture of God. It wasn't just something for Sunday. It was for his life. David spent his life as a warrior, even as king. He was a warrior. And the only thing that protected him, he knew really, was his relationship with the Lord. One of the schemes of the devil, there's only two schemes. He's got two plays, you know, three actually. Three plays. He's got sin in your life, so he tries to tempt you to sin. There's fighting amongst believers. That will nullify our battle. And thirdly is fear. Just fear. And Satan loves to appear just to have us back down. We live in a culture like that today. It says just back down, back away. But God has called us to stand and be faithful. He said, who shall I dread? So first, the mark of a righteous warrior is a confident personal faith. He knows the captain of his salvation. He knows what God is capable of, and he trusts him. Secondly, in verse 2, he's battle-tested, a proven warrior, not just an observer. How many believers today just say, well, you know, I got saved, I got baptized in a church, find a church you're comfortable with, they preach the right stuff you can be comfortable with, and now take a break. Just sit on the premises until God calls you home to heaven. Well, I think in America, that's been easy to do for some generations because we have a culture that's been friendly to the gospel, but that is changing, isn't it? That's changing day by day. Now they call good evil and they call evil good. And they call those that love the Lord haters. And so things are changing. But a proven warrior is different, isn't he? One that's been on the battlefield, one that's experienced God's help, one that has experienced adversity. He says here, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, that's serious. That's just somebody trying to take your house away. They're trying to devour you, trying to kill you. I wonder if maybe David was talking about the lion and the bear that came when he was protecting his father's sheep. Because when he went before Saul, I remember as a teenager, he went to carry a carrier package down to his brothers who were in the army of Israel. And there was Goliath who would come out every day and challenge the armies of Israel. Instead of us all going to battle, just send out one champion. And whoever wins, well, we'll just give the victory, the whole thing to whoever wins that little challenge. It's between me and you. And he was a giant. And so Saul was looking for a champion. I don't know why he didn't take him out, because his heart wasn't right with God, I guess. But so he's looking for a champion. He offers his daughter, anybody that will face the giant and live, you can have my daughter. So David, the teenager, he hears this and he's saying, well, who's going? Where's the line? Nobody? And his brothers, they didn't like that very much. They said in the King James, we know the naughtiness of your heart. You just came down here to see the battle. Who do you think you are? David's reply is there not a cause? These are the armies of the living God. That's one measly little giant. Well, word gets back to Goliath that maybe we've got a contender. So he calls for David. And he said, okay, well, anybody has to put, you don't have any armor? Well, you can have my armor. I'll get it back later, right? They put his armor on. Saul's about 6'4", 2 1/4", and David's a teenager. And the Bible says in the King James, he essayed to go. You know, he tried to walk. It was just hard to walk. He said, you know what? I don't need this. He said, well, how are you going to do this? He said, well, when your servant was taking care of his father's flock, a lion came one time and a bear came another time, and I grabbed him by the beard and I killed him. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Why did he have such confidence? Was he just an arrogant young person? No, he had experienced God's power on the battlefield. I mean, bears and lions, you may not think of them as your mortal enemy, but I'll tell you what, you see a grizzly bear coming at you, and he's running, he's not there to give you a hug, right? He's there to devour your flesh. We have that happen all the time in the wild out here. And he said, this is my experience with God. A righteous warrior is battle tested. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 5, we exalt in tribulations also. Why? Why isn't it just our salvation? Because tribulation works experience that proven character and a proven character hope. And hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is spread abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. We experience God in the battle. If you're never in a battle, you never experience the victory. David could say confidently to Saul, I know God is able to deliver me because he's done it before. The righteous warrior is battle tested. He could say in Romans chapter 8, I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul could say. Why? Because he'd been in so many situations, it looked like it was over. They stoned him and left him for dead in Lystra. Listen, the Jewish people knew how to kill people with stones. Paul says later, yeah, I died. God just wasn't done yet. And he came back. He got back up, went back into Lystra, greeted the brethren, and moved on. He wasn't done yet. What can stop you in your ministry? Paul says in chapter 8, that great chapter on security, if God gave the very best of heaven for you, will he not also freely give you all things that you might accomplish what he has called you for? He predestined you. He called you. He justified you. He's going to glorify you. Nothing's going to stop him. So in your life, what he's called and gifted you for, what can stop that? Paul asked the question, so what do we say to these things? The answer, if God be for us, who can be against us? David said, the Lord deliver me from the power of the lion, from the power of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul says, go and may the Lord go with you, right? He had no faith. Thirdly, battle ready. The righteous warrior is battle ready. He's available for the fight. He's available for the challenge. And David goes down to meet Goliath. He's got a sling. There's a little brook there. So he goes and he picks up 5 smooth stones. When you're in Israel, if you're with Dr. Bookham, you'll stop by that brook. And they will tell you that sling stones were not like this big. They were like baseballs. So, I mean, he was wielding a really good weapon. And he was deadly accurate with it. But David did not go just in his own skill. He went in the power of the Lord. And so Saul comes out, and what does he say to David? What am I, a dog? Do you send out a little child, send out this little boy to throw sticks and stones at me? And David in his youth would not let no man despise his youth. He said, I'm taking your head off. I'm going to feed your body to the birds. And then the Bible says he put the stone in the sling and he ran at the giant. He didn't try to dodge blows. He ran at him. This is going to take one, and it did. The Bible says the stone hit him between the eyes. It sunk into his forehead. The giant hit the ground. David went over, took the giant's sword, and cut his head off with his own sword. And all of a sudden, the armies of Israel got enthused. And the Philistines didn't keep their word. They did not surrender. They ran. Because one young man believed that God was able. In the scripture, there are so many stories of young people, of teenagers that were willing to be used of God. And what is the righteous warrior? He's available. He's available. It's not about being an observer, waiting for other people to say, well, somebody else will take care of that. That's for the missionaries. That's for the heroes of the faith. They're a special bunch. That's for pastors and elders. No, no. What is your ministry? How has God gifted you? How many believers don't even know what their spiritual giftedness is? If that's hitting you in the heart, then just say, Lord, I don't even know. Well, get involved and find out. Be available. Teddy Roosevelt, in his very powerful, well-remembered speech, said, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the one who points out where the strong man stumbled or the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. but who actually does strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Available. Available. I love this passage in Job. Job 39, 19 through 25 about the horse. God goes and tells Job, have you ever considered how I made these different animals? He says, have you ever considered how I made the horse? Did you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like a locust? His majestic snorting is terrible. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the flashing spear and javelin. With shaking and rage, he races over the ground. He does not stand still at the voice of the trumpet. And as often as the trumpet sounds, he says, aha! He sensed the battle from afar and the thunder of the captains and the war cry. You say, yeah, that's the horse. That's David. That's somebody else. I want to tell you something. You may feel timid. Timothy was a timid, fearful man. But God told Timothy, or Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:7 or 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. So when we are beginning to sense fear about the opportunities or the challenges God has given us, we need to stop and just say, no, no, this is not from God. God desires us to charge into battle, to be available for whatever he wants to do, and to remember it is God in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not just you having a certain kind of nature that you can face all the challenges. It starts with simply, am I available for God to use me? Fourthly, singleness of purpose. The righteous warrior has singleness of purpose. He says there, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I shall seek. To dwell forever in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy, and I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Singleness of purpose was worship. David's whole life was about worship. David is called, even to all of his sin and his stumblings, is called a man after God's own heart because of the singleness of purpose of his life. In Romans chapter 12, Paul gets done with 11 chapters of teaching about the doctrine of salvation. And then he turns and he practically speaks and he says, now therefore, brethren, seeing the great mercy of God, will you not present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God? This is your spiritual service of worship. What? Your life. Your life. You say, well, I don't have a spiritual job. You see, I work on computers or I'm a doctor or I'm an attorney or I'm a teacher or I'm a mechanic. No, no, whatever God has put in your hand, that is holy unto him. That is worship. David was a warrior. And we don't need to separate our lives and say, well, that's for God, but this is over here, that's for the world, and then this is for me. It all is holy to the Lord. And as a warrior king, the bottom line, his heart was that he could worship the Lord. And that's where safety was. He say, in the day of trouble, he'll conceal me in the tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. You know where that was? That was the Holy of Holies. That was the mercy seat. That's where the blood was applied for our sin. In the midst of all the battle, David said, I'm safe because God loves me. He hides me. He'll lift my head above my enemies around about me. He will keep me safe. That's God's job. Now, he doesn't do that by taking all the trouble away. But when we begin to look at all of our life as worship, no matter what we do, then we run into those challenges with an ornery boss or a coworker or something else that gets in our way and challenges us and causes us fear. That's when we go back to worship. We say, Lord, let me hide in your tent. I just want to worship you. It's the place of safety. This chapter is very special to me. When my son Benjamin served 4 tours in Iraq, we took this as our psalm, the warrior psalm, and I prayed it to God many times. In that first tour, he saw the most action, his first tour of duty. And every once in a while, we get a chance to talk to him. And I'm sure as a parent, he was trying to relieve my fears that I might have. And if you're not a praying person before, you will be when you send a son or a daughter into battle. But I remember him trying to relieve my fears. And he said, Dad, I feel just as safe here as I do when I'm in Cheyenne. He was stationed in Cheyenne at that time. And he had a baby daughter on the way that he wouldn't see until he got back. He said, Dad, let me just tell you how safe I am over here. He said, the other day, we're riding down the road and looking for the bad guys. And I was up on top on the 50 caliber machine gun. And they would take turns being up there. And he says, we're coming to a certain place and somebody says something to me. So I had to get back down in and so I could hear what they were saying. And right at that time, we hit an explosion. I would have been cut in two. That's how safe I am here. God knows how just when to have somebody ask me a question. I am so safe. But you don't have that experience unless you get in the way, unless you begin to follow the Lord. And God has to show up, because when you're faithful, you will have problems. When you stand, you're going to run into challenges. But that's when you find out how safe you are, that God provides, that God supernaturally protects. And that's why David could say, yeah, that's the time when I'm lifted up that I'm going to offer sacrifices with shouts of praise. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to my God. Because that's when we experience the victory. When our focus is Him, even the challenges, even the defeats, we'll see God at work. Singleness of purpose. Number 5, the righteous warrior is totally dependent on the Lord. He is rooted and grounded in the love of God. David cries out to the Lord. He has this prayer. Now hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Don't hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. What's he saying? First of all, verse 8, he's saying, I'm only here because God called me. That is the gospel, isn't it? When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. That's the call of God. David was only in this position of having a defense because God had called him to himself. But lest you think that David was a mighty warrior just because he had these great experiences, he was this awesome guy and this strong guy, he's telling us, listen, I am totally dependent upon God. In another psalm, he writes, who do I have in heaven but you? I got nothing here. But his confidence was that even if those closest in life, my mother and father, even if they forsake me, I know the Lord's going to take me up. God's got this. Totally dependent on God. That's the place of strength. That's why the Apostle Paul could say in the New Testament, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See, as long as we think we got it, we're not going to depend on him. Oh, I have this, Lord. I don't have to pray about this. I've got this. David said, Lord, don't turn your back on me. He knew he was still a mess in so many ways. He said, don't turn away from your servant in anger. I probably deserve it, but don't do it, Lord, because I've got nothing else. The righteous warrior is totally dependent on the love of God. In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 and following, Paul prayed for the people at Ephesus. And his prayer was that you be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Not just knowing doctrine really good, not just knowing this and knowing that, but rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, because that's where protection was. That's where the victory was won. Number six, the righteous warrior is always teachable. In the New Testament, the Greek word for disciples is mathetes. It just means learner. Not learned, not know-it-all, but a learner. All of our life, we ought to be learning. This old gospel song says, more about Jesus would I know, more of his love do others show. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. You ever get to the place, well, I've heard that before, I don't need to do that. I've heard teenagers say that. Yeah, I know the basics, I already got that. I was teaching a sophomore Bible class at a Christian school, and I was all excited about teaching the book of Proverbs because I love the book of Proverbs, and I was so excited about sharing that with them. Go in the first day, like, we already know Proverbs. Really? You're sophomores in high school. You already got Proverbs down? Amazing. And we challenged their boredom, and we had a wonderful time discovering the book of Proverbs. We really don't know it all. You know what says that I know this? That's pride. And when we do that, we say, well, I don't need to learn anymore because I've learned it. That's pride, and it can become rebellion. That's when we don't trust the Lord with all our heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's when we begin to lean on our own understanding. I'm so thankful for the team of elders that we have here. Whatever the challenge that comes up, we always go back to the Word of God. We may know the Scripture, we may know where it's at, but we go back, we look at it again and say, Lord, what are you telling us here? What else do we need to learn? And we walk through it in the Word of God and in prayer together. Learners. I think the reason that Doug Bookman is such a blessing to us when he comes to teach us is because he's always learning. He's always learning more and more, and so he's always excited about what the Word of God is saying. The righteous warrior is always a learner. What does he say? Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes, or literally because of those that lie in wait. See, if we can see where the enemy's hiding out, in a level path, you can kind of walk. If you're a soldier, you're walking and say, well, somebody could hide there. Somebody could hide there. In the military, in the army, anyway, they teach you your fields of fire. So during the daytime, you set up and you figure out some places where people might hide in the darkness. And so you zone your weapons in on those places. So he's talking about, Lord, teach me your way. Show me where the pitfalls are. So I'm not surprised. So much easier when you're prepared, isn't it? When you get taken by surprise, that's when the damage is done. So he says, Lord, you teach me your way. In every situation, Lord, what do you want to teach me? My heart is open. My mind is available. I want to follow you. He says, don't deliver me over to the desires of my adversaries. False witnesses have arisen, and such as breathe out violence. So, Lord, you know what they want to do. Teach me your way. Jesus said to his disciples, I send you out as sheep among ravenous wolves. Again, be wise as serpents. Lord, what's your way? How in this situation do I speak the truth in love? How do we get through that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Because we walk in relationship with him, he gives us his spiritual words in the scripture and his spiritual thoughts to lead us through those dangerous places. Seventhly and lastly, we need godly perspective. You might get into a situation, think, well, there's no hope here. What's going to happen here? I better figure this one out myself. And maybe it's because of sin or because of lack of wisdom. You've gotten yourself in a situation. You know, the Lord never says, you got yourself in that mess, get yourself out. It's never hopeless when we're walking with the Lord. Never hopeless. He says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. We get our eyes on the situation, on the challenges, on the dangers, on the waves. And we lose hope real quick. Because when you look inside for strength, for courage, it's not there. That's the wrong place to look. Even as a believer, when you're being convicted or maybe you're just feeling hopeless, you think, well, maybe I'm not really a Christian. Don't look inside to find assurance of your salvation. You have to look to the Lord and his promises. Because inside, you know you. All you're going to find is the failing and the sin and the stuff you just can't get over, right? Don't look in. Look up. One of the greatest coaching I've ever seen done. We're so privileged to have a coach like this where my boys growing up. I think Rich had every one of my boys. He's here this morning. You want to meet him. I'm not trying to embarrass him. I just want to share something with you. One of the greatest coaching jobs. Rich was a ninth grade football coach. And Laramie football was kind of one of those deals where it took about 6 minutes to get a touchdown. And he was coaching. Dr. Schultz was on his team that year, and my son David was on his team. He wasn't a doctor yet, but Clayton Schultz was on that team, and Casey Adams, and he had a great team, and they were undefeated that year. And Fort Collins came to town, and we handled them pretty good until there was about a minute, almost just a little more than a minute left in the game, and somebody let them get behind, and they threw a pass, and we were behind. There's only a minute and something left, not much time at all. And you can imagine those young men used to winning go dragging back to the huddle. And coach didn't say, who is the idiot that let that guy? Didn't you know we could win the game? No. There was no negative words. He didn't say, hey, get your head up. You look stupid. He just got those young back in the huddle, and I was there. And I snuck over so I could hear, what does the coach say something like this? And Rich just said, hey, guys, look up at me. Look at me. Look at me. Those kids look at their coach, and he said, hey, we haven't lost yet. This is us. And then he began to run plays. And they ran a couple of really good running plays, and with time running out, David tossed a pass to Casey Adams, who fell dramatically into the end zone, and we won the game. Greatest coaching I've ever seen done. Why? Because it wasn't professionals. It was ninth grade boys who had to look into the eyes of their coach and believe that he knew what he was talking about. Here's what God says. Listen to this. Isaiah 40. To whom will you liken me that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. God says, forget about the circumstance. Stop looking around. Stop considering where you're at and all the weaknesses of yourself. Look at me. See who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? And due justice escapes the notice of my God. Why do you say God doesn't care about me? Why do you think that I'm not paying attention? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That God is the one that lives in you. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 2:13, it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do you know him this morning? Is he the one protecting you? say, well, I've accepted Jesus, but I'm not a mighty warrior. I'm not a mighty warrior. I don't know if I'll ever be considered a righteous warrior. Well, here's the deal. It's not on you. All you have to do is be available. And Jesus says what? Follow me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what the circumstance. Just follow me. Simple. Not easy. Do you belong to him today? Who's looking out for you? Who's protecting you when death comes? Can you say with confidence, when I come to the valley of shadow of death, I won't be afraid because the Lord is with me? If not, I want you to know he can be there. He says, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You'll find rest for your souls. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to take my place and your place in the wrath of God. And he says, available if you come to him. Father, we thank you for your word. How powerful it is. What an amazing thing. Not only have you saved us from wrath, you've called us into partnership to be a part of what you want to do in our time and our place. Oh, Lord, stir us up to faithfulness. Help us to see it's not about us. It's about you and your power, your provision, your Holy Spirit. And Lord, give us the desire, the will to be available so that one day we might hear from your lips, well done, righteous warrior. And then we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.